Everybody wants to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep it locked. I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne,
a lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
My name's Chris Lambert.
And my name is Travis Bean, and I should have said a visual analysis of Kanye West.
Yeah, we are on camera today.
Coming right at you.
That's right. I know we talked beforehand. I was like, I'm not going to be making eye contact with the camera throughout the video, but already I just find myself
like, I know. Me
looking
too.
At the camera. Yeah.
You've trained me, Chris. You've changed me.
You know, I hope that's what people say about this podcast when they hear our new season on Donda. They'll be like, Chris, the analysis that you guys had, it changed me.
It changed my very being.
Yeah. I mean, that's the goal, right? That's the goal.
I used to think up was up, but now it's down.
Right? I used to think left was right, and now I think left is left.
And I used to think Michael Jordan was the GOAT, and you know what? He still is, actually. That carried over from the alternate universe.
Oh, yeah. You Chicagoans.
Yeah, I like to dig at you because I know you're a LeBron fan.
Yeah, us Ohioans. No, LeBron's taking the GOAT title.
Yeah. I mean, Ohio, it's kind of like the one thing you have to latch on to, right? Like, you got to hold on to that.
Yeah, it's our only thing. The only thing. Well, this is an exciting episode because this is the first one we've gotten to do in a while that's just like a pre-album release rollout episode. Yeah. And like, what an album rollout it's been so far for Kanye.
Yeah, man. I mean, let's look back. We were getting pretty hyped for The Life of Pablo back when that came out, but our podcast was really in the infant stages at that point. So we didn't have a big blowout on the show.
Mm-mm.
For Yay, I guess there was a lot of hype there. And we were doing a lot of shows, and I remember our podcast numbers really blew up then. So that was a lot of fun. And then Jesus Is King, though, you were on vacation when that rolled out. So yeah. I was doing episodes of other people, which felt like I was cheating on you the whole time.
It felt like you were cheating on me, too.
So it's been 3 years since we've gotten to do an episode like this.
That's very true. And we had our like big Yandy, or no, Jesus Is King, like...
Yeah.
Like
Yandy.
Yeah. We did all the like build up to Jesus Is King as well, like all those episodes in preparation. Right. And then Yandy, we were trying to do things like, man. So this is exciting. And I think it's even more exciting because this doesn't feel as slapdash, I guess. Is that the word? Like The Life of Pablo kind of came together very quickly, but it felt like you could feel that Kanye was just kind of throwing things together as like the name kept changing and we're getting the notepad, which is awesome and still iconic. But with Ye, it was just like a whirlwind of like, okay, he's remaking the album. He has a couple weeks, like he's putting the cover together as he's arriving at the listening party, which people still feel a kind of way about that. Even though Kid See Ghost had a longer runway in terms of they were working on it for a year and a half before it actually came out. And then Jesus Is King also felt kind of thrown together in some ways. And people have pointed that out, especially with the engineering on the songs, like the mixing and the mastering, how some of them feel kind of like unpolished, unfinished, which I think can be an aesthetic choice and never really bothered me all that much. But just hearing some of the clips that we've heard from Donda so far, and how crisp and like triple A the production engineering sounds, it has me really excited.
It's a very full sound, right? I really love Jesus Is King, but I also at the same time understand why people wouldn't. And even though I do love Jesus Is King and I love it sonically, you know, sounds like Salah I think are very moving. And there's a big, like, rich sound there. Like, Close on Sunday, that to me is probably the most complete song. And that song gives me chills sonically. God Is, Soars, like, stuff like that is great. But I agree. Listening to No Child Left Behind, which was the song that was playing in the Nike commercial for Sha'Carri Richardson, that sound, like, that felt different. Like, I feel like we haven't gotten that from Kanye in, I guess, probably since The Life of Pablo. Like, I'm thinking, like, Ultralight Beam-esque kind of sound, you know? Mm. It's just so full and rich and encompassing in a way that when I have headphones on, it's like, I don't know, it's just something brand new. Like, it really takes you back as a Kanye fan.
Well, then we just got the clip like 20 minutes before we started the show of God Breathed on This, which also sounded phenomenal.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kanye spitting bars.
Yeah. Yeah. And so far with this album, just to recap, I know most people that are probably listening to the show are familiar with the things that we've gotten so far, but we had the listening party in Las Vegas just on Sunday, and the initial reports from that, and it was a surprise, right? I think it was Friday or Saturday. It's just like, by the way, a listening party in Las Vegas, private listening party. Like,
didn't feel real.
Yeah. Just what's Kanye suddenly doing in Vegas? Why is he doing like a listening party? Is the album really that far along? And we started getting reports from people like Justin LaBoy being like, no, I heard the full album. It's amazing. It made Kevin Durant cry. Like, what?
Wow.
That's a sentence I never thought I'd hear. Like, just Justin LaBoy, Kevin Durant hanging out with Kanye West, and Kevin Durant cried. But we had people like that we know from Twitter, people from West Sub Ever, R. Kanye, that all ended up at the Las Vegas listening party that were reporting back just the album is fire. It's what people hoped for. It's what they wanted. I heard Jesus is King 808s. Just like a sad Jesus is King, but like epic in a lot of ways.
Yeah, right. I feel like I think you could just keep throwing Kanye albums into like what it sounds like, because I definitely get like Jesus vibes from it, and that's mostly from Kanye's like attire and kind of like the aura around him. Like, it's like he has that untouchable Jesus aura, but he's Christ-like now, so it's not like he's gonna like, you know, scream in your face or something. Maybe he will, but he'll scream about God, which is good. And then of course you have The Life of Pablo, which is like, there's like the sound of like ascension and like you're reaching for, you're moving towards something more profound. And then of course, like, Yay Kitsy Ghost, Jesus is King, combination of like gospel and like getting back to God and getting in tune with yourself, like all of that. And then you're right, like 808s, the kind of more spare, I don't know, there's, again, like, I feel like you could just combine it all. It's like this really is starting to feel like a culmination, like something Kanye's been building to for a while.
And even we found out last night late, was I in bed or was I just about to go to bed and I came down and made the video, Gesefelstein, I'll get the name right someday, who was very involved on Yeezus, in particular Black Skinhead and Send It Up, and kind of feels like a mix of Yeezus and Daft Punk in his debut album Aleph, which came out just a few months after Yeezus. He produced No Child Left Behind, so it's just like you even have Kanye bringing back producers that he had worked with in the past that were really part of this distinct sound, adding to this soundscape. So
yeah,
that's really exciting. There's still like, it's still up in the air what's going to be on the album. So there was a track list that Consequence ended up sharing mistakenly. He was putting out a video of Tyler, the Creator, and Kanye in the studio together, which is exciting on its own. But in the background on the dry erase board, you could see a track list. And of course, West Sub Ever Sleuths cracked it. Zoom in, enhance, decipher. And we saw that, I think there was, what, like 10 songs, 11 songs? And of the ones that Kanye played at the listening party, or something like five, like half of the songs that were on that track list in quotes, didn't get played at the listening party. And ones that weren't part of it, but were part of the original Donda track list from a year ago, like God Breathed on This, did get played. So we don't quite know yet what we're going to end up hearing. like, how much is Kanye still adding to this album? How much is he still cutting down? A similar thing happened with you at the Jesus is King experience, right? Like, there were songs that you heard that ended up not making the album.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm not remembering which specifically which songs were and weren't played. I mean, they were all played out of order, too, and at the time, I didn't know what songs for what because I don't pay attention to leaks or anything, you know? But yeah, it was definitely more of an experience in the way that everyone was kind of like testing this album out at the same time, like even Kanye. Like he was like reading our reactions and like vibing with us and getting more of a sense of the feel it gave off, I think. Whereas this, I mean, I agree, he's probably still going to be tinkering up the album up to the last second. But the fact that there's going to be a live listening party, and if the album actually drops that night or Friday, you got to think he's got the track list pretty much down at this point. So I am really curious to see how it's going to differ from the Jesus is King experience, which was, again, like, it's not like it was improvised or anything, but like he was just jumping around between songs and he didn't know which ones were going to make it compared to this, where it's like, here is the album, like, and we're all going to experience it together at the exact same time, which will be special.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing that Justin LaBoy was saying too, like the album's finished, the album's complete, et cetera, et cetera. And I think a couple other people have said that as well, but it's Kanye, right? You never know what he's going to change. I mean,
he's been doing it since day one.
Yeah, he even changed things from like the Yeezy Season 3 Life of Pablo listening party to actually releasing the album 4 days later. So, madman. But we had I think the thing that was cool was not just the hype of the Las Vegas listening party, but the fact that that same day, there was the initial rumor, because it went up on Ticketmaster, that there was a pop-up show for a rap artist at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and it didn't say who. And it was just people being like, this has to be like Kanye or Drake,
pop-up
right?
show at an entire stadium.
Yeah. Not just like a small venue or a church, but like a whole-ass stadium.
Yeah.
And then it ended up like the next day we got the confirmation that it was Kanye. So, I mean, this has felt fast in a way, right? That we went from like zero to album in less than a week, but then at the same time this feels much more put together than what some of the previous ones had, which is really exciting. Though I say that the Life of Pablo, he still had like a whole ass stadium, though. I do think the difference, I wonder if it's going to be like a similar setup, because why he had the whole Yeezy Season 3 show, which really like visually stole the show. For the music, it was just like a table with speakers and an aux cable.
Yeah, right.
It was kind of like janky in terms of the musical aspect, to the point where like near the end, he's just like passing the aux cable around and letting people play songs.
Yeah, right.
I feel like this seems like it's going to be more of a show.
Yeah.
More agreed. Of a concert.
You're right. Like the Life of Pablo, there was something we could see. We could see the fashion show happening. There were visuals. You're right. He's just on a stage for turntable. It's nothing like that special. And then Jesus is King. He's just up. When I saw him anyway, he was up in a balcony with Kim and his kids. And he would let his kids speak into the microphone. Like, again, it just felt like you were in a family gathering or something. It was very loose. But this, you're right. I mean, there's been rumors that like there's going to be a really cool setup there. We made a video on how Kanye talked about he was building $120,000 stage. It sounded like that's what he was saying anyway. He said 120,000. We didn't know if he never finished the thought. So I don't think he means 120,000 people, but who knows what he would have been saying. Or maybe it's square feet, but whatever it is, he's planning something big, I think, especially since on Instagram he posted a photo of himself in the empty stadium.
Yeah.
Seems like a Kanye thing to do. Like, look at the before and after, because I'm going to do something fucking incredible with this. It feels like it's going to be something, like you said, like a show. And so we're going to get an album, but there's going to be something visual accompanying it. And I feel like it's got to be a combination of like Yeezus and Jesus is King or something, where like yeah, you have the mountain, you have like the spectacle, but then you're going to have like Sunday service choir. You're going to have something very gospel at the same time. So who knows like how all that's going to come together. We know it will. We know it's going to look awesome. And then on top of that, maybe Kanye will perform some music. Like, man, it's just, who knows what could happen on Thursday.
And I guess like under the radar, when we bought the tickets to the listening events, which will mm-hmm. be in Atlanta for the show, Ticketmaster said Kanye West presents Sunday service. So whatever image they were using, I don't know if that was just something they already had that they threw up, or if it was the image given to them, but it was at least being labeled on Ticketmaster as a Sunday service event.
Interesting. Yeah, I would imagine that was just already on there, but you got to think Kanye's always going to have the choir on there. And I mean, listening to the music, it still has that gospel sound. So I would imagine a choir would still always be there, and there'd be a different arrangement for live shows and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you mentioned Kanye's Instagram. That was a huge thing, and kind of a different thing about this rollout. I don't know when Kanye has ever really incorporated Instagram in a rollout. I mean, Yandy in some ways, but he was still more active on Twitter, and everything he was posting to Instagram was also being posted to Twitter, I imagine.
Right.
Maybe not the hurricane video or the 80 degrees video, but over the last couple of days, Kanye was slowly wiping his Instagram, which people were like making screen videos of, showing like the posts going from like 150 down to like 130, 129, 128, 127. And you could just see him deleting as he went, which we made a video archiving, I think, the last like 70 posts that he had. Mm-hmm. And he finished the job yesterday. It was completely wiped, and then he started posting images to it. So far he has 3 posts, but like 8 images. The one post had 8, and it focused on kind of a photo shoot that had two chains that had his kids' names on them. So you had one that was like a larger font and one that was a smaller font, which looked really awesome. And he's still wearing the mask. He has like a tank top on. His shoulders look jacked in one of the photos.
Hell yeah.
Like strong yay, you know? And then my favorite thing, my absolute favorite thing, is that one photo is him on these like steel drums, which I guess I can just like hold it up into the camera. Uh-huh. Him on these steel drums, and he's crouched like Spider-Man. It looks like the Todd McFarlane, if people are familiar with Todd McFarlane, like late 80s Spider-Man, but the Todd McFarlane iconic Spider-Man cover, but Spider-Man noir outfit, you know? Getting real nerdy into my Spider-Man-ness.
We got to get Kanye in the Spider-Verse, right?
Yeah, absolutely have to fit him into the Spider-Verse. It's just like Kanye having some lines with John Mulaney as Spider-Ham.
Hell yeah. And yeah, right? We got Spider-Ham. Like, Nick Cage is in these movies. Like, there's no reason Kanye shouldn't be there, too.
A man can dream. A man can dream. But he's just, like, crouching on these drums with the mask on, all in black, like, looking awesome. And then there's a photo that's just, like, all of the outfit, right, laid out. So mm-hmm. you have all the jewelry laid out, the pants, the jackets, the boots, the gloves, the mask, the Bible. Even though the Bible wasn't in any of the photos, it's still like, this is part of his outfit and equipment. When I made the video on it, I was like, oh, and he has his cell phone there. And people are like, Chris, it's the Bible. Like,
well, there's an app that has the Bible on it, so his cell phone could technically be a Bible.
That's true. And he does use the Bible app a lot. I think I remember him saying. And then he posted the Sha'Carri Richardson commercial, the full 1 minute version, not the like 15 second version that ran on TV. And then this empty stadium pic, which is the one that you're talking about, where it's just like him crouching again in the mm-hmm. middle of this empty stadium. No one else is visible. Like, there's not a single other soul visible in this photo in like a good space. It's not like a zoom in on Kanye. It's the widest fisheye that you can get. So it's like half the stadium surrounding Kanye completely empty, and Kanye just crouched down. And yeah, the sense of anticipation that you get from this is just huge.
Yeah, crouching, like you said, like he's going to just jump up through the roof of that goddamn stadium.
Yeah, Superman. Super yay.
Or Spider-Man around the stadium.
Could you imagine? Just get a video of Kanye like swinging from a rope. Like, just...
yeah. What if that could be what the aesthetic of the new show is? That's what he's previewing here. Like the Spider-Man on Broadway show where they hoisted people around on those those harnesses. Like maybe that's what Kanye's doing.
Yeah, he just flies through the air all around the stadium, like giving people high fives.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm down for that. Okay. Yeah. So that's been another part of the rollout. And then we had the TV spot last night during game 6 of the NBA Finals in which the Milwaukee Bucks became your NBA champions.
Not my NBA champion.
Oh, not yours. Of course not. But the commercial was short and brief. Photos of Kanye was saying that there was going to be something on Kimmel afterwards, which was something else that this artist known as Blue Boy was also hinting at. Blue Boy, we first saw with Kanye last year in Atlanta when he was hanging out with 2 Chainz. Blue Boy is a designer, a visual artist, and it seemed like they were going to be collaborating maybe on something. And Blue Boy, over the last week, has been hyping up, like, my life's about to change, like, y'all gonna see what's about to happen. And then it got pushed, I guess. So the commercial is supposed to come out today, and I don't know what that's going to entail, but we at least have another part of the rollout, and it's going to be another new song, which is something that Sha'Carri confirmed in her Instagram post, like, new commercial tomorrow, new song, etc., etc.
So she's also in that commercial?
I think so. Unless she's okay. Just really excited to hype it up.
Man, it's just like, yeah, I don't even know like where to begin. Like, all of this is so awesome. And I feel like maybe Kanye took a page out of like Tyler, the Creator's playbook, because like Tyler really started building hype for his album like a week out, you know?
Yeah.
And all these things were happening all at once, which I feel like is way more like, I do think back to The Life of Pablo and like, that was a lot of fun. Like each night, like you didn't know if the album was coming out. Like you were getting new songs like every few days. Like it was a longer rollout. And that definitely worked and got me hyped like the whole way. But there's something like more special about the fact that like all of a sudden, like it's happening. Like at first you're like, well, it can't be happening. It's Kanye. Like I think it might be happening. And all of a sudden like, oh God, it's happening. Like he's rented out the stadium. We're doing this. Like to do that much in such a short amount of time without really saying anything, like you're just having other people post things to their Instagrams and Twitters, like you're doing a show in Atlanta and like you can't get tickets to it, but you don't know anything about it. He's gonna post a photo of an empty stadium. You don't know what he's gonna put in it. Like there's something way cooler about this that's getting me like it's funny because like I'm probably way more hyped for this album, yet like I haven't had enough time to process it so I can recognize how hyped I am. Like it's crazy that you and I are flying out to Atlanta tomorrow, that it's just happening, like we're going to be doing it, and I'm not sure it's going to quite hit me until I hear the music, at which point I may cry and hug you.
Which is fine. I'm here for that. It's funny because I was like, yesterday I got the tickets, and I got tickets, I was like, oh, I'll just get like some seats here, like we'll be giving them away, like I don't even know why I'm getting these tickets. And I was like talking to my wife, and I was just like, yeah, we're gonna give the tickets away. She's like, why don't you go? And I was like,
oh man,
you think? She's like, yeah, like you should be going. I was like, okay. And then texted you and we're like, should we go? And you're like, should we?
Like, yeah. My knee-jerk reaction, this is how you know you're getting old. I was like, God, I want to go. I love Kanye, but like I have a bunch of stuff to do. I have like my week planned out. I have to run on Thursday, and I had to keep up with my running schedule. And then like once all that dissipated, and I just had this moment of just reflection of like, dude, you can go see Kanye. You haven't seen Chris in 2 years. Like this will be the first like Kanye thing you guys do. Like go. And I was just like, it became instant. I was like, yeah, we got to do this.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's, it just feels like a nice, like moment in history, you know, like we may not have gotten to see the Yeezus tour cause a tour bus crashed, but like we can see this.
This is Kanye making up for that.
Yeah. Thank you. Yay. Thank you. And you mentioned the rollout, XXL magazine had a tweet earlier that said this Kanye rollout just feels different. And Karen Civil, who's on Twitter, I want to click on her profile, but I don't want the tweet to go away. It says giving daily inspiration at Live Civil, marketing maven, always civil, 487,000 followers on Twitter. Like, I see her a lot just in terms of like the podcast space and stuff going on in music, culture, media. But she says, give it up to Black women, Massa David and Miata V. Johnson. So I don't know if they're involved in any way. But like Massa David currently starring in a feature film called My Life, written, produced and directed by God. I was born for this role. Seems like someone Kanye would work with.
Right.
And, Miata just says half of the sister duo MVD Inc., which MVD Inc. is an innovative boutique creative agency specializing in strategic positioning, immersive experiences and integrated marketing.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, I saw Reddit mention her, or West Sub Ever mentioned them too. And yeah, that's so true. Like, Kanye always has great people on his team that are helping him put together these, I mean, probably just managing the social media in general, but these kinds of rollouts, especially this one, like, props to whoever is doing that.
Yeah, it's just, it feels focused. And then I just checked Blue Boy's Instagram, and one of the things he was so hyped about that got revealed last night was there's an HBO Max show called The Hype. And I think 2 Chainz is part of it. I don't quite know the details, but I'm seeing like 2 Chainz talk and I'm seeing the hype, and it's an HBO Max show. And apparently Blue Boy is part of it. So that's one of the things he was really excited about. But he also said there's 2 more deals that are equally as huge. So stay tuned. So maybe it had nothing to do with Kanye, but
everything has everything to do with Kanye.
That's how I feel. So what, snippet wise, I know that people talked about, there's one song on the album that was, you mentioned Tyler earlier, that reminded them of Wilshire, which on Tyler's newest album, Call Me If You Get Lost, is this 8 minute, is it that long? 8 minute song where Tyler just in one take describes this relationship that he had with this girl. And they said that Kanye does a similar thing. And I saw a snippet of it from the listening party. And it did feel in that way as like Kanye kind of narrating a story, being a storyteller, like not necessarily performing, but just like talking.
Cool. Yeah. Yep. Last Call Part 2. I'll take that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got some exciting, it feels like it's going to be a dynamic album. This listening event is going to be huge. There's so many Kanye fans going. They said the stadium sold out. Which is just like, what's the capacity at Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, usually at a stadium, it's tens of thousands, right?
Yeah, this is okay. It's a 71,000, which like, I don't know if it's 71,000 or if it's like sold out for the amount of tickets that they sold. Like maybe they just sold 20,000 tickets and that's what sold out. But man, if it's 71,000 people, that's insane.
That's going to be nuts. I mean, man, and I'm so excited to go. Like, it's going to be a whirlwind because we're only there for 24 hours.
Yeah.
And I assume for about 3 or 4 of those hours, we'll be sleeping. And it'll be cool to, like, see a bunch of Kanye fans together. That was one of the coolest things about Jesus Is King experience is, as a Kanye fan, the life of a Kanye fan can be tough it's sometimes, because like if you say you're a Kanye fan, like people give you a weird look, you know. But to be around a bunch of others who are Kanye fans is awesome, and if the stadium is actually full of them, that'll be incredible. And hopefully like people recognize us and like just come up to us and talk to us about Kanye. Like, that would be awesome. I'm just so hyped for this.
Yeah, I feel like we haven't talked about it formally, so maybe it's jumping the gun to just bring it up while on the podcast. But I feel like we might do something where it's like an hour before the show, we just kind of like pick a section of the stadium to kind of like hang out, or outside the stadium if they're not letting people in yet, and just be like, hey, we're going to be like doing a meet and greet. Like, you can find us here, like come up and say, hey. And then afterwards, I was thinking that once the show ended, we could tell everybody to meet in like a section and try to get like a group photo.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Good idea, Chris.
Thanks.
That should definitely happen. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it'd be cool just to see like how many people fill up a section that we can get from like Twitter, what's up ever, our Kanye, and fill everybody in, like podcast listening fans, and just get a photo of all of us with like the stage set up in the background.
Yeah, let's make a post to West Sub Ever and try to set that up.
Yep. West Sub Twitter, make a YouTube video on it. And then we'll be documenting the trip for everybody. We'll of course be doing a podcast episode, I think, like in the aftermath, just saying what the experience was like how awesome it was. And then also gonna have some video footage of it. We're gonna try to make kind of a mini doc, I think, of the trip out and the experience itself.
Man, it's a short amount of time we're gonna be in Atlanta, but so much is gonna happen that we'll easily be able to make a documentary about it, a full length documentary about it.
90 minutes. No. but you know, like a little like 10-minute like chopped up montage of like heading out, the experience, et cetera, et cetera. And then, oh, the album itself, one of the things is the release, because as we saw with Jesus is King, we thought because he was doing those listening parties, the album would come out like the night of the first one or after the second or third. And then it was a month later that the album finally came out.
Right.
There has been multiple sources confirming that the album is coming out Friday. I mean, Beats by Dre said 48 hours, which would mean Thursday after the show, which could be the case. But others were saying Friday. I think like Def Jam said it's coming out on Friday. So it might actually be the first Kanye album to have like an on-time midnight release since Yeezus, which is kind of wild to think about. Like,
This is, we're in different times. We're in a different decade, you know? Maybe Kanye's turned a new leaf.
Yeah, he's just like, doing things by the book, eh?
And that'll be so amazing for Kanye fans because, while it is awesome to be a Kanye fan because you get to be a fan of the best artist in the world, it can just be, like, trying. Because he promises so much and you think you're getting something and he rips it away and then you don't hear from him. Like, you don't get an explanation at all. So there seems to be no turning back from this. Like, you can't rent out a whole stadium and do everything you're doing, like, and then just at the last thing and be like, nah.
That would be it just makes me think, like, we're joking. I put up that video of me just wearing, like, getting hyped for Donda, and it's me wearing like this like running mask that I have for cold weather. That makes me look like Noob Saibot / Scorpion / Sub-Zero. Pick your Mortal Kombat ninja. And we were talking about it with Cole from Dissect, Cole Kushner. And he was like, if the album doesn't come out, you have to make another video that's just you dressed as a clown doing the same clown exact ninja. Thing. Yeah, clown ninja. And it's like, yeah, if the album doesn't come out like this weekend or soon after, and just be like, man, what? What?
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't think it's happening. Like, I know Kanye's track record isn't good, but like it's happening. Like I feel it happening already, so it's going to happen.
Yeah. That's the spirit. That's the attitude. That's the attitude.
And we'll start picking apart that album right away, right?
Yeah, I think we'll record the first episode on Monday. So, everyone, we will go through the Donda album entirely, like line by line, song by song, until it's done. I guess should have it finished by like the start of August, though. It will be interesting because we covered Ye and Kid See Ghost that quickly, like pretty quickly. We were still taking like a week at a time, right?
Yeah.
Or two at a time, like two a week.
We were doing two a week. We do one Ye, one Kid See Ghost.
Yeah, so it still gave us some time to really like keep going through the album and keep like learning about things. Jesus is King, we did get started right away because I was on my honeymoon, and then that also took a little bit to kind of go through. So it will be interesting like going through this one like so quickly, like day after day after day, and we'll get through it fast, but I feel like it'll almost be something where like 3 months from now we'll be like, oh, we want to talk about that song again.
We can. Let's just do a part two right away.
Yeah. just like, all right, we did it once. Like, now we're going to go through the album a second time, a third time.
Yeah, that will be, I mean, you saying that, I'm on board for this. I want to do it, but it is a little daunting because we did go week by week of Jesus is King, and that was very mentally draining.
Yeah.
Because as much as people don't like that album, there's a lot going on in it, and there are all these references to the Bible. There are so many interweaving parts to that album that you need to connect that it was, you know, it took a toll on me.
Yeah, mentally, I think that's been the most draining season we've ever had.
Yeah.
Which is, like, strange to think about because it's the album that people think has the least amount going on in Kanye's discography. But it's very dense. It's, like, incredibly dense. If you haven't listened to our Jesus is King episodes, like, highly recommended you go check out, like, Follow God and just see all the layers that are going on from the references and the samples and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, very dense. Agree. Like, it is Yeezus-esque in that way.
Yeah. Like, half the lines, but the same amount of, like, nuance going on.
Absolutely. That's what Kanye does.
So we'll see how this one is. Like, is it just going to be even more than ever before?
I'm super hyped. Like, No Child Left Behind alone has me thinking this could be, like, his best album. So, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear how all of these things come together. I'm still sad L.A. Monster isn't going to be on the album. L.A. Monster is such a great, great song, and it's just never going to exist.
No New Body.
Yeah. New Body grew on me, too. New Body grew on me too. And then Law of Attraction became used as gospel, but Law of Attraction would have been like a top five Kanye song for me.
Yep. But you know what? It's all in Kanye's hands now. We're finishing this recording, and from here on out, it's a waiting game. Almost 24 hours from now, it's gonna be starting up and we have no idea what we're gonna get.
I know, but we're all gonna, you know, be in it together, and we know that Kanye will give us not only what we want, but what we need.
And what we need is 15 tracks.
I would like 22, just like a solid 22 tracks.
Yeah, exactly. 15 plus 7. I would agree. That's a good number.
Oh, yeah. You know, 7's the number of God, so.
Yeah, that's why I said it.
This is one of the things we learned from the Jesus King season.
I learned a lot about the Bible that season, and you will too if you listen to all those episodes.
Yeah, it was absolutely a crash course. And I guess the thing that we'll talk about, I think, in more detail when we finally know the full album is the featured artist list.
Right.
Like, it's rumored that Tyler, the Creator, is a feature, but also people were saying he just produced Pusha T, Lil Baby, Ty Dolla $ign, Casey Pluto, West Side Gun, Conway the Machine, like Griselda. Baby Keem and Travis Scott, this guy Vori. So we'll see. I mean, we saw Selena Johnson was also in San Francisco at one point where Kanye was recording things. Mm-hmm. And it's like, was she just out there randomly decked out in Kanye gear not to work with Kanye? Or did Kanye bring her in and she's going to have like something she does on the album? Selena, for those of you that may not recall the name, is who did the vocals on All Falls Down.
Right. So, All Falls Down Part 2, Last Call Part 2. Hey, got some College Dropout vibes here.
Yeah, I would take an album from Kanye that's just all sequels.
Every one of his albums moving forward should all be sequels to every song he's released.
I'd be curious to see how that goes. You know, Drive Slow 2, Roses 2,
Silver Surfer Heartless Intermission 2.
Yeah, that's a good one. and then the Donda album covers, maybe the last thing to talk about. It's funny, on Genius they have, I never knew they did this, they have an annotation for the covers, and they stack like what the old cover was underneath the new one. So last year when Kanye revealed the cover, it was that very neon image of I guess neon's not quite right, but it was like the bright green, the blue, right, the red and the orange. There was the sun, maybe kind of like a void behind or a sunspot behind it, with three like ghostly children heading off towards the sun. Mm-hmm. It was very haunting while also kind of implying kind of heaven, paradise, transcendence, afterlife. And people were like pretty big fans of the album cover with how striking it was. And then Kanye didn't, but other people revealed what the new cover is, which is a zoom in on a painting by the French-American artist Louise Bourgeois. The original art was part of a collection titled La Tête Bleue et la Femme Rouge. How's my French?
I felt like I was listening to my computer like recite French back to me.
La Tête Bleue et la Femme Rouge, which translates as the blue heads and the red women. So the connection that people were saying on Twitter, on Genius, is Bourgeois would often make art to work through the trauma of losing her mother at a young age. And we recently saw Kanye, when he was in Paris for his birthday, taking a photo of what looked like Irina Shayk. And people are just like, oh, horny Kanye, like taking a photo of Irina, yeah, bending over. But it turned out she was leaning on a rail looking out at a pond of water that has a spider sculpture by this artist. And the spider sculptures are known as like maman, which is French for mother. Mm-hmm. And she has like a few of them that are very, very striking. She would use the spider for female symbology or symbolism a lot in her artwork. So Kanye actually had a connection to this artist while taking that photo that everybody thought he was just being like horny Kanye, but actually, yeah, he was being artist Kanye, or maybe a little of both. But it's the image of this woman. You get her shoulders, which are like these broad, the figure's not very anatomically accurate. Mm-hmm. Very distorted, but the neck's like pencil thin, the head's very flat and two-dimensional with the hair kind of cascading down. So it's this minimalist portrait of a woman that feels very like eerie and haunting. It seems like someone that is underfed when you look at the proportions, almost like a skeleton that's still alive. But it's mm-hmm. funny because in the full art, the zoom out, the body is actually pretty bulbous and pretty full. It's just the neck and head proportions that are off. But it reminds me of the Titans in Attack on Titan, and that the proportions are just like
right,
bizarre and kind of like scary. So the cover, I think, gets at a lot of emotion. It feels very charged to me.
Yeah. And interestingly, I mean, I feel like that kind of fits with everything Kanye's been doing. Like, it's both menacing is the word I keep thinking of. Like, there's an aura to it that is like, that feels not confrontational, but just like big, like, you know, fuck with it. But also at the same time, like, it could be scary in that way, but also like comforting, like something that's inviting and going to show you the way and like going down a good path. Like, I get all that energy, and obviously that's what's happening with Louise Bourgeois. She made these paintings dealing with trauma of losing her mother. Like, there's something very sentimental and real about those images that are a little off-putting. Her images really evoke David Lynch to me. I was looking at a lot of her like sculptures and paintings and stuff, and that's totally something I think David Lynch does as well. I mean, he explores the dark side of humanity, but it's like there's always like optimism in what he does, so I kind of get that vibe. And I also like how this all seemingly came together kind of at the last minute. Like, it reminds me of what Kanye did with Ye and how he took the picture on the way to the album release party. And like, he just recently discovered, you know, the spider while he was out with Irina. And he's probably just discovered Louise Bourgeois' art. Like, it's something that he's feeling in the moment and feeling inspired by. And it's leading up to the album release, so it just became part of it. And that's just one of the things I love about Kanye. It's, as much as people are annoyed by like the lack of preparedness, like sometimes this is what you get from him, like this like off the cuff kind of thing. It's very real, and it's just representative of him in the moment.
I'd actually be curious to ask, because I wondered if he would have become familiar. Like, has he ever seen the movie Enemy by Denis Villeneuve? I never know how to say his last name. Villeneuve?
Sure.
Denis is the one that did Sicario. He did Blade Runner 2049. He did Prisoners. Like, all phenomenal movies. I think he's currently my favorite active filmmaker.
He's doing Dune, right?
He's doing Dune, yeah. Arrival, he did as well. Like, the man's phenomenal. But Enemy uses Bourgeois' spider imagery, the Maman, throughout the movie. And it's very disorienting. It's probably one of his trippiest movies. It's Jake Gyllenhaal as well, who likes to do weird things. But I could almost see Kanye, like, having seen that movie and being like, what's with the spiders? And somebody pointing out that it's like Bourgeois, or him already knowing, because he's really into just art. So I wonder, I'd be curious to know his relationship. Like, is it something, as you're saying, that is recently discovered as he sees that spider and finds out more about the artist? Or is it something that he's kind of been familiar with for a while and is bringing to the forefront in this album?
You know, if he would come on this show and talk about movies with us, we could find out.
We could find out, Kanye. I DM'd Boo, Kanye's manager. I was just like, Boo, we want to interview Kanye about movies. And I keep just like commenting on his posts, like, check DMs, check DMs. We'll see. We'll see.
One of these days.
One of these days. Maybe we'll get to meet him in Atlanta, you know? And we'll be like, Kanye, movie interview? And he'll be like, what? No.
I mean, we should, if we do run into Kanye, we should have some movie questions prepared, right?
Yeah. Kanye, is There Will Be Blood and Akira, are they still tied for your favorite movie?
Absolutely. Do you connect at all with Nomi Malone and Showgirls?
Have you seen Enemy?
How many times have you watched Holy Mountain?
Yeah. What are your thoughts on The Lion King?
Chris just starts asking him about all of his childhood movies.
Yeah. Have you seen The Sandlot?
How about The Sandlot 2?
Little Big League? Little Giants?
Major League. Major League 2. Major League 3, Back to the Minors.
I forgot that one existed.
I've never seen that one. I've always seen the post or the DVD case at Blockbuster.
Wait, you've never seen Hot Shots and Hot Shots Part 2, right?
I haven't. I know.
Yeah, okay.
I need to.
Maybe, no, it'd be weird if, like, we got to Atlanta and we just watched, like, 4 hours worth of, like, Charlie Sheen movies.
Yeah. And then, like, a couple more. Like, watch Platoon and, I don't know, watch, like, 4 episodes of Two and a Half Men. Is that the show he's on?
Yeah. And then,
yeah.
I mean, watching Two and a Half Men would cause us to drink heavily. Just because it's the only way to make it through an episode of Two and a Half Men.
And then we miss the show.
Yeah. Sounds like so an episode of Two and a Half Men.
Maybe we shouldn't do that.
Maybe not. Maybe not. All right. Well, anything else for the pre-release hype?
No. This is better than the Yandy hype episode we did. Remember at my wedding?
Oh, yeah.
We just like met in a room and drank the night before my wedding and... My brother surprised me with Yeezys. Like, it was a great night, but we also didn't get an album the next day. So,
no. Have you worn your Yeezys yet?
I've worn them a couple times, and they've gotten dirty, and I need to get them cleaned. And I was thinking about that, actually. Like, oh, I should wear them to Atlanta, but, like, I can't wear dirty Yeezys to Atlanta.
You absolutely cannot wear dirty Yeezys to Atlanta. That's good because like, I think it was like a year after your wedding, we were talking, you're like, yeah, I still haven't worn the Yeezys. It was like, what?
Yeah.
The anxiety.
I have worn them a couple times, but no one has ever once noticed them. So, I mean, I'm sure maybe people have noticed them. I've never seen anyone actively noticing them or say anything to me.
You know, all the time, if I'm in the airport and I see somebody with Yeezy, I'll be like, nice Yeezys. Or if like just out and about in Austin, I'll see people with Yeezys.
That's good of you to do.
I like the blue tints, like they look cool. And 80% of the time the person goes, what? Like, huh? And like, acts like I'm weird for giving them a compliment, which maybe I am. And then 10% of the time they're just like, oh, thanks. And I should adjust those percentages, because I think it's just been like two times in like the 100 times I've done it where somebody's been like, oh, thanks, man. Like, I love Yeezys. And it like actually led to like a,
right,
a conversation, which, I mean, often I don't want the conversation. I'm just looking to give the compliment and go on. But it's funny how many people like are weirded out by the compliment.
Yeah. If they knew who you were, they would be like falling head over heel that they got a compliment from the number one Kanye scholar in the world, or maybe number two.
You know, if only. I should wear like a name tag. You just got complimented
by Chris Lambert. Like, who? They have to put another name tag. This is host of Watching the Throne. You're like, what? And then you get another one. It's a lyrical analysis. You know what? Never.
Whatever. The same thing was happening when I was in Australia. I'd see people randomly wear like a Cleveland hat, like Indians, Cavs, not the Browns. You didn't see anybody in Australia wearing like a Cleveland Browns gear. This was 2009, 2010. So there's no reason for anybody to celebrate the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
But I'd see people wearing like jerseys, shirts, hats. And I'd be like, Cleveland. And they'd get so weirded out by my excitement over seeing like,
yeah,
them repping the team. They'd just be like, what? The one guy that annoyed me the most, he had the Indians hat on. I was like, yo, Cleveland Indians. He's like, what, mate? I was like, the hat? And he takes the hat off, like, and looks at it. Like, he just takes it off, looks at the front of it, and goes, mate, it's just a hat. I was like, ah.
Just wearing a hat? He doesn't even know what's on it?
Yeah. I was like, I mean, kind of, but the hat still means something. Like, and I thought it meant that there was a connection between us.
I don't know, man. I like to think the world's opening up and getting kinder, so hopefully that shit cuts out soon.
I know. I'll see somebody in Atlanta that's wearing like a Cleveland thing. Maybe it's going to be V-Rob himself, you know, fellow 3-3 Owen. And I'll be like, yo, OH. I'll be like, IO. And we'll have our moment, you know?
Or this whole trip, every 5 seconds, people are going to be shouting at us because they're going to recognize us, and you're going to understand how all those people always felt about you.
Yeah. But the main difference between them and me is that I'm an only child. So
you crave the attention. It only builds your ego.
Yeah. It's just like, yes, yes.
Gaining power slowly throughout the trip.
It's why the YouTube channel got started in the first place. It's just like, I'm an only child. I should be talking. I should be on camera and talking.
Kanye can do it. Why can't I?
Exactly. Right? Has he posted anything to Instagram while we've been recording this?
Ooh, let's check. Live check-in.
No. The answer is no.
Okay. That's okay, though. It was still pretty exciting into the episode, I think.
Yeah. No, that's it for now. But stay tuned for more, you know?
Okay, you got anything else for the fans?
No, just...
How about for me?
I'm going to need you to stay wavy, Travis.
Oh, well, I can't promise I'll stay wavy, but I can keep it loopy.
Oh, well, then that's just as good.
Okay.
That's fine by me. All right, then. Until next time. Oh, wait, why am I still talking?
They ask me, I tell them, Mr. Rockefeller, raise your glasses to the sky, yeah. Mr. Rock, this is the